I just want to read something real quick before we get started. January is Sanctity of Human Life Month. And this year, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is celebrated today, January 22nd. So this is a day we set aside every year since President Reagan proclaimed in 1984 to focus on the value of each and every human life. Sanctity of Human Life Sunday has had great impact year after year. And this year, for the first time since the overturn of Roe versus Wade, it has been more significant. The necessary work to build a culture of life in the United States is not finished. Amen. God creating a culture of how precious every human being is. Amen. Doesn't matter who you are here, what side of the tracks, or what you've been through, you are precious in His sight. He loves you. And He started loving you from the minute you were conceived in the belly. Amen. We want to lift up in prayer our churches, pregnancy centers, and pro-life organizations throughout the nation that provide support, resources, and most of all, love and kindness. That's the key here. Love and kindness to everybody in need. We pray that more women will be empowered and supported so that they will choose life for their babies. So today, let us pray for the safety of pregnancy center workers and those who march today, this weekend, and all year long to be the voice of the unborn, to win hearts for Jesus and the truth about the sanctity of life. Amen. So can we just stand up one more time and for you that one more time, get blood to your feet and get it pumping through your body. Amen. And so, Father, we thank you for the sanctity of life. Today we thank you for the preciousness of every soul, every human being. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for building a culture of how much you love people from the minute they're conceived. Lord, that you will protect those who worked at pregnancy centers, Lord. Lord, where the enemy tries to come in and lie and slander and turn things around like this is that these individuals stand for hate or untruth. No, they stand for love and life and truth. So we thank you for protecting them. We thank you for the truth of the love of Jesus Christ going forth from every pregnancy center in the United States and around the world, or that the message of love and your goodness and your grace and your forgiveness would be proclaimed, Lord. So we thank you for protecting. We thank you for your anointing on the pregnancy centers and all those that are involved in this wonderful ministry. We thank you for it. We honor you today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated once again. I probably won't have you get up again. But that's no guarantee. For you that were here when Pastor Lee was here, remember that? You could be getting up a few times. Amen. I mean, and I always want to say this. What I love about it is those individuals, I'm always very sensitive that, you know, traumas in people's lives, you know, traumas that happen in people's lives. One of those might be somebody who's had an abortion. I just want to tell you that Jesus is able to not only forgive, but heal every heart. 100%. 100%. Do you realize that? That's what the gospel does. It heals, forgives, and delivers people from their past. That's the good news of the gospel. Man, that can get you excited that God does not hold your past against you. Others may, but He does not. Amen? We don't have to carry a guilty conscience. So I thank Him that regardless of the traumas, whether done by others or inflicted on ourselves, that God is able, amen, to heal, forgive, and deliver. That's the gospel. Man, that's the gospel. But I can't keep going down that road because then I'll get off track. And so last week I had preached things needed most today, right? So this thing, what I'm preaching today is things needed most today, part two. And so I just want to go through really quickly just so we kind of a synopsis of what we talked about last week. And our main text was Colossians 3:1-4. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Hallelujah. And we talked about last week, a couple points last, that if you have been raised with Christ, meaning if you've been born again, you know, the thing, we know that from 1 Peter and from John chapter 3, what did Jesus ask the religious leader? He said, or told him, he didn't ask him, he said, hey, you must be born again. And the religious leader went right to the natural, saying, what are you talking about being born again? He says, how can I go in my mother's womb again? And Jesus said, hey, you're a religious leader here in Jerusalem and Israel, and you don't know what I'm talking about. He says, how can I talk about these spiritual things if all you're thinking about is just the natural? And so even as with people are being baptized today, the young people, what this is, I was going to talk about this as we go through this message today, what a baptism represents today. And so we, number two, so if you have been raised with Christ, you have been born again. How many people here are not ashamed to say, I have been born again? Amen. I have been born again. My spiritual eyes have been opened. Amen. My heart has been opened to the God that loves me. Amen. The God that made me and the God that has totally changed my life. How about you? Amen. I mean, I know we're not perfect yet. And any of you that are married, you know, just have to ask your mate, am I perfect yet? And vice versa. Amen. But you've been born again and you continue to grow in him if you want. And it says, keep seeking those things. See, that main word was things above. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. I won't go through all that, but it says, now faith is a certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it the people of old gained approval. And we start talking about those different what those different things meant last week. And what those different things that we have on earth that we pursue. Things on the earth that we pursue. Is that okay? We have things on this earth we pursue. But we talked about as having an understanding of the things in heaven, right? Being raised or being raised with Christ or seated at his right hand. We know that being connected with him by his Holy Spirit, amen, the things that we pursue on the earth are because of the things that we see above, amen. The things that we see above, that the things that are here on the earth, they don't have our hearts, they don't hold our hearts. We know they're temporal, amen, but yet we're walking in this earth, even working with things, amen. Do we have to have money to pay the light bill? That's the thing, amen. That's the thing. So those things have a proper understanding as we walk in the world with things, pursuing things, having to have things that are part of our life, but understanding those things, pursuing those things in heaven, we talked about those eternal things. I mentioned that the scripture that says, hey, the things that you can see are temporal. Everything you can see is temporal, but everything that you cannot see is eternal. And we talked about, you know, if I'm born again, the Spirit of God lives in me. But when they do surgery on people that are born again, the surgeon doesn't stop and say, hey, what did I find here? There's something in here. You don't know. You don't see the Spirit of God. You don't necessarily see spiritual things. They manifest in the natural. But the spiritual things of God living in you, you're not going to find with a surgery, or having somebody open you up, or someone looking at you, you can't discover it or see it. So first thing, and then what are we seeking? So we talked about what are we seeking. So we talked real quick about first, what are the things that are not above? You know the scripture, 1 John 2, 15 and 17 says this. It says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Right, if you're of this world, you don't know the Lord, there's nothing else to love. If you don't believe in him above, you don't believe he's coming back. If you don't believe in heaven, right? If you don't believe in hell, if you don't believe in the spiritual world at all, then the only things you can believe in are what you have here. But it says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen? We have to qualify that. Has anybody ever struggled with loving the things of the world? Come on. If you're human, you have. Amen? As we grow in Lord, we just get an understanding as we grow in him, these things are temporal. They can't bring eternal eternal satisfaction, but God has definitely called for us to handle things we'll talk about in this world. Some people will completely remove themselves from the world and not have any interaction with the world because they misconstrue or misunderstand scriptures about do not love the world. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And during the shaking that we've seen around the world and here in this nation now, it's a reminder that this world, that I am not a citizen of this world. Even my citizenship in the United States, which this country I love, which I will stand for what's truth and everything, I realize that my citizenship here, your citizenship here, is only why you're here on earth. Your citizenship, if you know him as your Savior, will forever be with him when you draw your last breath or when he comes again. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the things, you know, things of the flesh. It's amazing how the flesh, amen, our flesh, being born in this fallen world, that our flesh will crave after things if we allow it. That'll kill it. Isn't that amazing? You can overdo it on anything. You can overdo it on drugs, alcohol, whatever, just food, ice cream. I'm telling you, if you eat enough ice cream, if it's the only thing you have in your diet, and you just say, hey, my body's craving ice cream 24/7, you can't tell yourself, oh, it must be good for me. My body craves it. My body wants it. No, eventually, that will kill you. You're going to have vegetables. I know that can be a dirty word. And you definitely have to have meat. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And coffee? Okay. I agree with you. And so the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, what I obtained, what I can do, who I am, right? Who I am. This is my foundation in my life of what I represent. Just worrying about a legacy of this world, but not knowing that that's going to go away. So the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away. You've got to remember this, saints. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. You and I will live forever. Amen. Those would be those who will live forever with Christ. But there'll be those who will live forever separated from Christ if they don't come to know his love. Amen. I keep saying this. I know you can have many people here and they can shun that. But if you can go to heaven by any other way than Jesus Christ, then why would he have gave his life? Why would have God in heaven sent his very best down here to live a perfect life, to overcome every obstacle of the enemy and of religion and freely give his life for you and I? If there was any other way to go to heaven, it would make this individual known as Jesus a fraud, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. But see, he doesn't say that with anger or hate. He says that with a broken heart for the world, as he so desires to have the world come to find him, that they would give his life. As Jesus says, my yoke is easy, as my burden is light. Come and learn from me. How he wants to relieve this world of its burdens. But they are blind to it. They say, no, I don't want that. But it doesn't change the fact that he loves you and that he's the only way. I'm so glad I found him as my personal Savior. I'm so glad that he filled me with his love. I'm so glad that I can look at other individuals and with a heart, with his heart, saying, man, I wish they knew my Savior. Even in their spewing of hate and untruths and wickedness, I still want to have a heart that says, man, that would be one that would turn their lives around. Amen and amen. Then we start saying, seek those things above. That was my point number four. We were talking about how we have this connection with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about, but you know, Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, one of these things that helps us keep this connection with our Heavenly Father, hallelujah. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Who wants to walk in the truth here? It says, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. There's those things in heaven that's connected to us, the truth, walking in the truth. There's those things when it says, seek those things above, right there, whatever's true and lovely. Those are those things. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Then we said in verse 5, we're seeking what has already been provided for you and I. It's already been provided. Amen. Point 5 says in Romans 8, 31 and 32. Romans 8, verse 31 and 32 says, what then shall we say to these things? This is Paul. If God is for us, who is against us? It's like what we sing today when we sing those things like, the battle belongs to the Lord, right? This is how I fight my battles, trusting Him, worshiping Him. When there's things that I can't change, things that I can't, don't have any control over. Is there anything in your life or in your nation that you've noticed you don't have any control over? So I have to pray and trust Him and allow Him to lead and guide me, to protect me, amen? Trusting Him. And what does He do? He does those things. See, He who did not spare up His, Romans 8, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? There's that word again, all things. When we're trusting Him, when we're connected by His Holy Spirit, amen, to the Father, by the Holy Spirit, then we know that He will freely give all things that we need in our life, hallelujah. We can trust Him. And then the last thing is seeking Him seems far away, but it's not true. People say, yeah, He's up there, He's over there, but I'm down here. He's so far away, but He's not far away at all. Ephesians 1:13 says, in Him you, we got any yous in here? In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth. What's the message of truth? That's the gospel. The gospel of your salvation. Having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit promise. There you go. You have a piece of heaven in you. Did you know that? You have a piece of heaven in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And when we want to make, as we grow in Him, we want to understand how to walk in the Spirit, walk in His truth, be seeking those things that are above, those things above, while we are walking in this earth with all the things that surround us, that buy for attention. So another next voice, next or the first point, excuse me, of this week, if we've been raised with Him, see, it says, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking those things which are above. So if you've been raised with Him, you're dead. I mean, we'll talk about it because we say, hey, I'm alive unto Christ. I'm alive unto Him, but there's an aspect where you are actually dead. Did you know that? Galatians 2:20-21 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. Did you know that if you're born again, if Jesus is your Savior, regardless of what you understand about that yet, you have been crucified with Christ. Today, those who are going to be baptized, when it says that you've been crucified with Christ, and been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So when you're buried with Him, meaning I've been crucified, I died with Him, that means your own nature, you're considered your flesh itself dead to sin. We'll talk about that. You're put under the water, a representation of the Holy Spirit, submersed in the Holy Spirit, a representation of the washing of the water of the Word, amen? The Word of God in Ephesians says we've been washed by the Word, hallelujah. Hopefully this morning you will allow the Word to wash over you, to touch you. So crucified with Christ, amen, Eddie, being buried with Him, raised up into new life, saying, I belong to Him. I'm crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The King James says, faith of the Son of God. You know, faith, it says a measure of faith has been given to every individual. I'm so glad it's not up to me to muster up the faith. It's opening up my heart and by faith saying, Lord, allow my faith to grow in you. If it's just a mustard seed, Jesus says, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast to the sea. Everybody has a necessary faith here to do exactly what God has called you. It's believing it. It's believing those things that are in the Word of God regarding you. It's believing those things. Amen. It's childlike faith. Amen. The world, it's everything you do on your own. You got to learn. You got to stress. You've got to make it happen. But in the kingdom of God, it's childlike faith. That's good news. Because I have found out a long time ago, when it depends on me, it usually is not going to go very well. In my own strength, in my own ability. But with childlike faith, saying, I believe this message that a man lived a perfect life, the Son of God 2,000 years ago, gave his life for me. That's childlike faith, isn't it? And childlike faith in the world that you walk here in, with all the things around you, can make you look like the smartest individual there is, simply by his faith. Daniel did it. Hallelujah. Remember in Daniel, the wisdom that God gave him? Because he believed God. He didn't believe the Babylonian system. And I'm telling you what, I don't believe in the Babylonian system that I live here either. Amen? Hallelujah. By faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me, I do not nullify the grace of God. Then he says this, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes from the law, it says, then Christ died needlessly. You can't do it on your own. You cannot muster enough of your own righteousness in your flesh to please God. It is going to be 100% by faith, putting your trust in him. Amen? Amen. Let's continue this. 2 Corinthians. You guys know these scriptures, I'm sure. So it's just a repetitious thing of God reminding you, or maybe you haven't heard this scripture. We've been raised with him. If you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking those things above. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Did you hear that? Old things. There's that word again. Old things. Old mindsets. Old understandings. Old things that we used to have for security to make us happy. Those things that we pursued in this world, that you can't pursue those things, but you realize they can't save you. They can't satisfy you. Amen? So all things become new. So he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Did you know that? All things become new. Now, and this is, now all things are of God. Amen. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, Paul talks about. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, restoring fellowship that Adam and Eve lost. Amen. God through Christ Jesus has restored this where we have fellowship with him. Amen. We can hear the voice of heaven through the word of God, through his spirit in us, leading and guiding us in this world, saying, go this way, go that way, take that job. No, don't take that job. Do this, do that. Spend your money here. Spend your money there. Don't spend your money there. That is the spirit of God connecting you, saying, regarding things in this world, giving you understanding by the Holy Spirit. You're a new, all things have become new. Now, as everything could become new in my life, is there still struggles? We could read that and you saying, you're not talking to me. You could be listening to me this and saying, that's not true. But that's the scripture. It says, look, you've been born again. You have a new spirit. And now you have an opportunity through the word of God, through his Holy Spirit, to start growing in him, to understand what all things have become new. And all things are for God. As he will then lead you and guide you. Amen. The way you used to do business will change your mindset. The way you used to interact with your boss or your employee will change because all things have become new. And all things are from Christ Jesus. So that number one there being, if raised, then dead to sin. when we give our lives to Christ, well, I'll talk about it a little bit more, but realize sometimes we have this thing where, oh no, we have two natures. Well, if I got a born-again spirit, how is that two natures? I got a born-again spirit, then I have to renew my mind, and I have this flesh that's like, nope. How would your flesh, why the Holy Spirit, we'll talk a little bit, this is what I understand, you can't train your flesh. Or some of us can. I'm not very good at it. But through Jesus Christ, when I'm dead to sin, what is, I'm pursuing the things by the Spirit of God. He starts telling you which direction to go. Those things that used to have me trapped, I finally have had enough of them and said, no more. The Spirit of God says, forsake those things. The Spirit of God says, let those things go. Does it all happen in one day? No. Over time. Number two, we're dead to a system now. When you're in Christ Jesus and you're seeking those things which are above, you're dead to a system. Colossians 2, 20 and 23. I've got this in the Passion Translation. It says it so well. It says, for you are included in the death of Christ. We talked about that, right? And have died with him him to the religious system and the powers of this world. Don't retreat back to being bullied by the standards and opinions of religion. For example, there's strict requirements. You can't associate with that person, or you can't eat that, or you can't touch that. Verse 22, these are the doctrines of men and corrupt customs that are worthless to help you spiritually. For though they may appear to possess the promise of wisdom in their submission to God through the deprivation of their physical bodies, being harsh to their bodies, it is actually nothing more than an empty rules rooted in religious rituals. I want to read this real quick before I comment. Hebrews 13:9 says, do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And see, that's what religion will do when you'll become born again. I was talking to somebody recently. I just want to mention this again. The religious system or the lies of the enemy or the way we're raised will say things like this. Talking to a person, say, Lord, I want to give my life to Christ, but I still want to play pickleball. Remember I mentioned that? And I said, look, just because you give your life to Christ does not mean you can't play pickleball. I never said that. Where did you come up with that idea? It's part of the religion says, don't touch, don't participate, don't do. And they have this form of religious piety, right? Piety, did I say it right? But it has nothing to do with righteousness. Amen? If you like to bowl, I believe when you give your life to Jesus, you can still bowl. I'm terrible at it. If you give your life to Jesus and you enjoy to hike, did you know you can still hike? Amen? When you give your life to Jesus, if you still like to eat ice cream in small quantities, you can still do that. Now, I know there's a way that we can eat healthy to live a better life. I get that. But when we do it to please God or to please man, it's this form of don't touch, don't do, don't partake. And it has nothing to do with Jesus having washed our blood away. I understand if you're an alcoholic, I don't advise anybody to go hang out at bars. I'm not saying that at all. But if God saved you and you're in business for yourself, by all means, become the best businessman you can be. By all means, let the light of Jesus Christ shine through you. Hallelujah. See, wherever you're at, we need people that can stand up for the truth of the gospel. Amen? And so they can know what it's like to have a heart after God, pursuing the things of God, while still here on earth touching things. You pay your light bill. God blesses you. You get a raise. You give the glory to God. God wants us to be able to, here on the earth, to be able to touch, handle, and taste things that are okay with giving him the glory, giving him the honor, and showing what God can do in an individual's life. But sometimes religion will say, no, can't do that, no more of this. And we can get into this tight box where there's no joy, There's no peace. Wherever we are in our life, people need to see the love and the joy of God as you're also working, also having to handle money, also having to talk to people, working on the job, whatever it is. People need to see the glory and the joy of God in your life. See that you can be normal. You know, for the Great Reformation, for you to read this scripture, what it meant was is you had to become a monk and you had to go separate from everybody and give your life completely to the study of whatever. I'm not even sure it was the Word of God, because many of them weren't allowed to read the Word of God, but to the traditions of men. Separate yourself unto the traditions of men. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be submitted to the traditions of men, but I want to be submitted to the love of God. That the things that he puts in my heart out there to do on my job, amen, that people see the love of God. The hardest thing sometimes is showing the love of God when you feel like it's not being reciprocated to you, right? Those are those things when you realize what heaven's like. Everything's perfect. Everything is holy and just. And then here, trying to displaying sometimes that being dead to sin or dead to the things of the flesh, it's not easy. It's not easy. But people need to see that people can be out in the world, enjoying life and be normal. Did you know that? And still be separated unto God by faith. I'm not saying living in sin and doing those things, but they need to see the joy of the Lord. They need to see people out in the world doing exploits for God right where they're at. Amen and amen. You know, the outer appearance, we talk about those things. Don't touch, don't do this, don't do this. And, you know, neither, it says in the Bible, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. And, you know, it's not your haircut. Your haircut doesn't matter. Can I say that? I know some of us have preferences on haircut, cuts, long hair, short hair, no hair. It's not your appearance, your haircut. It's not your tie or white dress shirt knocking on doors that makes you holy. Amen. It's not whether you wear a cowboy hat or not. Amen. But if you got a cowboy hat, wear it. But it's not whether you wear a cowboy hat or not. That's not what makes you holy or unholy at all, right? It's the work that God's done on the inside of you. It's not whether I wear jewelry or not. It's not whether the pastor fits your idea of what he should wear up front or not, amen? That's why I decided to wear this. Because the suit doesn't mean anything. Next week I'll be wearing something else, but it's not the suit that matters. It's what's inside the suit, amen? What you wear doesn't matter what you're wearing, but it's what's inside of that dress that you wear or those clothing that you wear. That's what matters. Now, dressing modestly, we could go that, but you know, when God's working on your life, right, the outside. But my point is, whether I'm wearing this suit, which is a pretty nice sports coat, right? Might wear it again next year. Or whether I'm wearing a regular whatever type of shirt, polo shirt, it's not this that makes me holy or righteous. It's what God has done on the inside of my heart. Amen? It's what God has done on the inside of my heart. It's not whether you have a nose ring or an eyebrow ring. That's not it. If you're a man, it's not whether you wear an earring or not. You know, I'm from a generation where guys just didn't wear earrings when I was young, and the only people that got tattoos were sailors. Right, MJ? But as we've gotten older, as I've gotten older and seen different things, you know, I noticed that I like Michael Jordan. He's a good basketball player, right? But I never even noticed that he wore this big old hoop ring. Never noticed it before. You see, because they look at him and elevate him, so we don't notice those things. It's not whether you have an earring or not. It's what God has done on the inside of your heart. That's a new creation. See, religious says, no, all these, we got to conform these things on the outside, but it has no impact of what's going on inside. It's not whether you drive a pickup or a Corvette, right? So the world system, we follow Christ, not the world, right? But this, we do need leaders in this world. The world needs to see people blessed by God. We should be the most blessed people in the world, not just financially, but our attitudes, our hearts, our attitudes. Hey, man. Remember, I had a friend when I was young, I was about 18, and he was, well, now I realize he was a great guy, but he was real religious because he says, hey, you cannot have money. That means you have the love of money. Of course, I was just old enough to, like, I, you know, didn't pay attention much to what he was saying. And so him and his wife lived in this small travel trailer, and I don't care that they lived in a small travel trailer. So what? But when I went in there and visited with him and his wife, all of a sudden he started bringing out all these guns. I love guns, don't get me wrong. But he started bringing out all these guns. Let me show you this one. Let me show you this one. Oh, wow. And I said this, I was ignorant enough or bold enough to say, hey, how come you have to live in this small travel trailer, but it seems like you're spending all your money on guns? And his wife said, yeah. See, he had this form of godliness. In his mind, I had to live in some type, for him to have anything, you know, was idolatry. Yet he didn't realize he was living, because when you judge others about idolatry, he had every gun, all the money he had was going to guns. To me, that was the definition for him of idolatry. Living in everything in his life was poverty, except what had his heart, which was many, many guns. See, when we start trying to have this form of godliness, but there's no power, there's no changing of your life, there's going to be some type of idolatry in your life, because it's only Jesus Christ that changes the heart. You can put all these facades, and he told me all these things, but he didn't realize what had his heart. All his money going to these guns. I didn't see anything wrong with it. The thing was, is the hypocrisy of having to live a certain lifestyle except for the things that he wanted. See, if his wife would mention anything, it was, I'm sorry, hon, this is the life we've chosen to live. That is what the hypocrisy is. But what about number 3.3? How about being worry-free? When we're connected to him through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 6:31, it says, do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? We need to hear this today, saints in this world we live in this hour in this age. Do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, which can mean for the unbelievers, eagerly seek all these things. There's that word. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. And all these things will be provided to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Right? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just that, just believe in that, would just, man, thank you, Lord. Does that mean I don't work? No. It means he provides with the work of my hands. It means no matter what's going on with the economy, or if I am short on doing my best to provide for my family, but I'm short, he will provide. I said he will provide. Because I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, amen, who for the joy set before him endured all the shame of the cross, all that just for you and I. That's what faith connected with our Father by the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to live a worry-free life, to trust him. How often do you have to do that every day? Lord, I trust you. The next day something comes up, Lord, I continue to trust you. Lord, thank you for providing for my needs. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you that you're for me. Those are the things that we declare and speak when we believe the word of God. Amen. And this fourth one, I want to mention that I feel like the Lord had showed me yesterday, walking in his presence. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me, Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, I was was talking with David and Lisa Mitz, and we were talking about past moves of God and things that God has done in the past. And you, when you've been around long enough, you've seen God move through his body with different things. Rodney Howard Brown and different things where God moved. The Spirit of God, I experienced those things. I know they were God. And so I started equating those things. See, I started equating feeling his presence as if a certain way, a tangible way, to that being the presence of God. And so when we say I don't feel his presence, first let's qualify his presence. So we know that having a dream or vision, yes, that's good. Amen. Amen. I believe that. Hallelujah. It's in the Word of God. I believe he can give us dreams and visions. Hallelujah. And I have a heart that says, Lord, I'm open to that. Amen. Being slain in the Spirit, is that the presence of God? Again, yes. And you could say, I don't believe that. But I know that when they, in the Old Testament, even when Solomon, when they dedicated the temple, the presence of God was so powerful that everybody was just flat. They could not even, the priests could not even perform their duty. Why was it? Because of the presence of God. The presence of God can do whatever he wants. If the presence of God wanted to come in here and do something, by all means, hallelujah, I'm open to that. I would never want to stop the presence of God. Amen. Is laughing in the Spirit the presence of God? Yes. Is being drunk in the Spirit the presence of God? Once again, yes. I've experienced that. Exercising the gifts is a manifestation of his presence. Hallelujah. But here's another thing, some things we got to realize that are also the presence of God. Grieving the Holy Spirit is also the presence of God in your life. Amen. Not many amens for that, right? But Ephesians 4, 30-32 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. Where's that sealed? In you. You were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitter. And then what is he talking about? Then it goes on. So what are some examples of the things that can grieve the Spirit of God that lives in you and I? It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then what is God love? What's the Holy Spirit love? What's Jesus love? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Wow. Wow, the presence of God too is the Holy Spirit in us saying, hey, let's make a change here. That's the presence of God. It's not just the other stuff we talked about, which is awesome, but the presence of God is not just in certain experiences and experiences that you and I will have again, the things that God do, but his Holy Spirit living in you, the Holy Spirit saying, hey, make a change here. I'm speaking to you because you're my child. Anybody ever had a parent, a father that loved him and said, hey, I'm not happy about this. Make a change. A loving father would do that. Amen. We have a loving father. Hallelujah. Let me go on, because this is what the Lord began to show me. So God doesn't just want us to experience his presence, but he wants us to live at his presence. Because the word says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And this is what he began to show me. The fruit of the Spirit is his presence in our lives 24/7. See, I'll think of this fruit of the Spirit, and we'll hear about it, because especially if from a Pentecostal background, you'll hear about the fruit of the Spirit, but we somehow think it's not spiritual. We think it was just gritting out. You want patience, God's going to put you through the ringer. Did you learn it? Never pray for patience, because you're going to get in trouble. But when it says, let me say this, Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, let me just say this. This is how you could say it. But the fruit of the Spirit, or you could say the results of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit, or because of the walk of the Spirit is in my life, I have these things. It's the Spirit of God. This is the Spirit of God in you, walking with you 24/7. This is what it produces. Love. Man, God is love. I can't love within my own strength. Can you? No. But his Holy Spirit lives in me. What does his Holy Spirit live in me do? man, love comes out. It's also joy. How did Paul, who was in prison, and he in Philippians saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. I thought, well, man, he's just gritting that out in religion. Hallelujah, Lord, in these chains of darkness, I can grit it out. I've got joy. No, the Holy Spirit is in him. And because the Holy Spirit's in him, this joy is coming forth. See, he wasn't controlled by his flesh. We'll talk, if we have time, we'll talk about that. But the Holy Spirit that was controlling, he's walking with the Holy Spirit, walking with the presence of God, regardless of what he was going through, where he was at, because of the Holy Spirit in him, he was experiencing supernatural joy, because once again, he's born again. He's got a new nature. The Spirit of God lives in him, and he's able to walk in joy regardless of the circumstances. How about peace? It's his peace from the Holy Spirit, regardless of what's going on. His Holy Spirit wants us to experience peace. What happens is we'll listen to the voice of the flesh or our own emotions, and it blocks what we could have is peace. Long suffering. I have long suffering, not because I've just taught my flesh to have long suffering. I have long suffering because the Holy Spirit lives in me. Hallelujah. Kindness. Where's the kindness come from? The Holy Spirit living in me. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Then it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And this is what I saw so many times, and the things that we don't experience from this presence of God in our lives is because we've trained ourselves to respond to our emotions or the things going on in our mind. That's what's leading us. Our emotions are leading us, or things in our mind are leading us. And what happens, we don't realize the Holy Spirit is there. No, I want you to have joy in this situation. No, I want you to have strength in this situation. No, I want you to have peace. I want you to persevere. And you don't grit it out and try to figure it out in your mind and your flesh. But because you're renewing your mind by the Word of God, because you believe the truth of the Word of God, because you believe in the power of God, you're accessing that joy, that peace that's already you. That is walking in His presence. The world needs us to see us walking in His presence with joy, peace, strength, wisdom. That is the presence of God with us every day. Amen. But we'll make it that, no, they've got to have some kind of experience in the Holy Spirit to believe. No, you are a walking experience. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. So what is it? It's this, we walk in His Spirit. As I begin to look at that, it said, you know, as we begin to walk, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We have access to it. Nope, I'm not going to let that emotion control my life. No, I'm not going to let those thoughts control my life, because I walk in His presence. I walk in His joy. I walk in His peace. So people, how can you be happy with what's going on? Because I embody, I carry the presence of God. I carry the Spirit of God. You and I are to walk in the Spirit of God 24/7. When we don't, it's on us, it's not on Him. It's an understanding. It's something in our soul realm that has to be changed or broken and submitted to Him. And say, Lord, doesn't matter what's going on, I choose to walk in Your peace and Your rest. The world needs to see us walking in His presence. These things here, it's the love, the joy, the peace. I used to think this was something I had to grit out. As I walk with Him, as I learn from Him, as I train my emotions, the Holy Spirit, because I'm born again, just starts to come out. People say, why are you happy? You shouldn't be happy. Well, I happen to house the presence of God. I happen to serve a God who loves me. I happen to serve a God who has filled me. I happen to serve a God who's leading and guiding me. I happen to serve a God who I can trust with my whole life. I can trust a God that no matter what's going on, He's got my back. As the worship team comes, do you know there's a realization today the Lord wants us to realize is that you walk in the presence of God 24/7. But do you realize it? Do you allow it? Amen. Do you walk in his joy? Sometimes people will say, if I could, you know, and there's sometimes where the spirit of heaviness or somebody needs to be, the enemy needs to be rebuked. I get that. But there's times of just understanding, saying, this flesh is dead. I'm not going to keep dictating whether I'm in joy or not. See, when we follow the Spirit of God, saying, Lord, I know I'm following you and trusting you. I'm leaving these things. It's like somebody, I mean, who might be watching things on their computer they shouldn't be. That could be you today. I don't know. And it's what, and you, and you're born again. It's this. It's saying, Lord, this stuff is wrong. It's not bringing joy. This isn't practicing the presence of God. Lord, help me to die to this. First Peter says that he that has suffered in the flesh is through with sin. Sometimes you just have to get enough. You got to have enough time where you said, I'm done with this. I'm suffering. We turn away from it and say, Lord, I'm following the Spirit. He's a good, good Father. And then when we turn from that thing, that area of our lives begins to resonate his joy, his peace, his strength. Amen. It's us making a decision, saying, Lord, I am going to pursue walking in the Spirit of God. Those things that are coming against me, I'm learning by the Spirit how they die, dead to sin. It's not managing them. It's not getting 3 points of how you can manage that. No, I'm dead to that. That's what the Word of God says. Is anybody here? How's the presence of God? Hallelujah. Thank you for the peace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the strength of the Holy Spirit in us, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that we have the Spirit of God in us. Amen. Resonating with his joy. That's what he desires. See, in religion, you'll never do enough to have joy. That's the lie of the enemy. It'll never allow you to do enough to ever bring joy. It'll always cost you more. It costs, costs, costs. But he paid the cost for you. I can walk in joy in my household. I can walk in joy in my job. I'm not saying perfect, but I house the presence of God, and he wants me to experience all that belongs to me through him with his presence. Can we stand up together? Can you stand up and say, thank you, Jesus? Start saying, thank you, Jesus, that I house the presence of God.
Yes.
Thank you that you never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. Father, teach me what it is to walk in your presence 24/7. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, help me to, Lord, even in the middle of difficult times, why am I walking in great joy? Because it's coming from the Holy Spirit. It's not dependent upon me. I am trusting him, and out of me comes that joy. Hallelujah. Because I'm joined with him. I'm looking to him, looking unto Jesus. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for teaching us, Father. It's your Holy Spirit that teaches us how to walk in your presence. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your peace. Lord, we pray as we'll be baptizing some people here, Lord, that we'll celebrate with them being dead to this world, especially today, alive under Christ, living in him, learning what it is to walk in the joy. Lord, learning by you what it is to walk in his peace and walk in his strength. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit ministering to our hearts, not just now, but tonight, tomorrow, the rest of this week, with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you need prayer, if you want to just come to the altar, if you need prayer, I just invite you. But more than anything, I pray that this word would resonate in your heart. And so we thank you for that today, Lord. We love you. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, I would love to lead you into the experience of becoming born again. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Aren't you glad you came to church? I am.